This is 91.1 WEDM, and it's your boy Ty here with you guys. And this is another week of Warren's World that I'm ready for you guys to listen to. We have Alexis with Drill Team, and we have Ray with the Speech Team. So it's going to be an interesting topic this week. So I want you guys to stay tuned and listen, because you'll learn something new.
Welcome back to another Warren's World with your host, Alexis. Have you guys heard of the Silent Drill Team? Yes? Well, I hope so. These people are the group that are always on point with tossing rifles and not tossing marmen. Well, today, I have with me members of the Drill and Color Guard team, who is Commander Cadet Lieutenant Colonel Emily Smock and former member Commander Cadet Major Elena Orberg. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
If you guys don't mind me asking, what is the Drill Team and Color Guard team?
Basically, it's a group of people that are in the ROTC program. You stay after school. And you work on the movements. A lot of times you end up doing shows for like the veterans or companies downtown, like the ABC company.
Whenever they need us to do like the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance, mm-hmm. and present the colors, that's what we do.
Oh, so you guys are more military appearance wise.
Yes.
Okay. How long have you all been a part of the team?
This is my fourth year.
Since you guys have been a part of the team for a long time, in the beginning, you guys both were just learning, but now you guys were able to meet the position of being commanders. What is it like?
Well, being commander, first, both of us, we started out as riflemen, which are the two on the very edge. We started out not the bottom, but as commanders, like we had to learn how to be leaders and lead our team and adapt to different scenarios that we weren't prepared for. Like whenever we go to a competition or a show, we never know what to expect. So we have to adapt after that, and we just have to always learn to be prepared for everything and anything at all.
How has your mindset changed from when you all started till now?
When I started, when I was a freshman, I was really quiet, confused, and I wasn't very vocal. Mm-hmm. But now, truthfully, I don't care. Like, it's pushed me out of my shell a lot more, and it's helped me get better at teaching others, especially because one day in the future, I want to become a teacher. Mm-hmm. It's just helped me a lot with getting a foot early on in the teaching life. It also teaches a lot of self-discipline when you're there and you're holding something that really doesn't weigh a lot, but you're holding it for like an hour and a half straight without a break. It gets heavy. So you learn a lot of self-discipline and how to not just stop on yourself.
So you all have been in this for just about 4 years. Tell me, what is Mass Sergeant's teaching method?
Well, Mass Sergeant Little, who's our coach, he yells a lot, but he yells at us to get through our heads. You messed up and you need to fix that mistake, because if you don't fix that mistake during practice, then you're not gonna have that rifle movement or that flag movement down pat when it comes to competition or the show, and you're gonna screw over or you're gonna mess up and it's gonna impact the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. So he teaches us to perform as a team, not just an individual.
If Master Jin got upset and he talks to you and he starts fussing at you about how you do something wrong, does he still show it to you how to do it right and then explain, this is how you did it wrong, so this is how you should fix it?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, he'll see what you did wrong, but then he'll tell you how to fix it, because, like, he yells at you to get through your head, hey, don't do that again. But when he's done yelling at us or teaching us, like, that's when he starts to tell us and how to fix it.
So it's not just a one-sided street. You're always learning something. In the end, is it helpful to you guys as a team and individually?
I think even if you're not planning on going into the military in your life, just the ROTC program as a whole, not even just the drill and color guard that's in it, it really sets you up well for life, because it teaches you, like, it puts a desire in you to want more for yourself. It's something that sets you up for the future.
He really, like, installs in us to never settle for anything less. And, like, as soon as we get the movement perfect, we're always thinking of the next movement we can get perfect, or how we could perfect any other strategies or any other movements or anything like that. It just teaches us to never settle and to keep wanting more and to keep wanting to do better.
It builds your desire of what your personal goal was. So you reach that personal goal and you surpass it. Now, boom, I need to set a new goal. That's what it sounds like you guys have to do. Mm-hmm. Once you guys perfectly hit that movement, you're like, okay, what's next? Here it is. I'm going to do that. Like, that's what I like about it. So you guys do go the competition route. What is the competition route like?
Early mornings, a lot of hurry up and wait. And it's also really stressful, because a lot of times it's not just like football game or something. Like, you're not just going against one school, you're going against 30, 40 other people, other schools,
other teams. For when you do competitions, it's not like just a show or a practice where you can do it over again. Competitions are one shot, one kill. I mess up a movement, then that's gonna impact the rest of my team, we can't go back and fix it. Like, as soon as we're done with a card or the sequence of movements that we have to do, that's it. That's the end of the day for us, and we just get to find out what we did or what we did good or wrong or whatever it may be to the end of the day, and we can't go back and change it.
One shot, one kill. First impressions are the one impression that you have. So recently, you guys went to Floyd Central High School and dominated competition. You guys had one first place color guard. You had personally won first place on arm knockout. Another cadet had also won fourth place arm knockout. Kudos to you guys. Not only that, but currently you all are on the road to Daytona, which is a national most prestigious competition for color guard and drill. What mindset do you all as a team and individually have to have for each competition leading up to this big Daytona comp?
To be able to go to Daytona, which is nationals, you have to maintain a certain place throughout the entire school year. And if you don't, then you're just knocked out. If like the first four competitions, if you get first, you're all good. But then let's say at the fifth competition, you get a third. Oh, well, all your hard work just went out the window.
You're sent to the very back of the list, and you're not even considered until somehow some other teams mess up and you're pushed forward on the
list.
Unless
it's like a miracle.
You guys are saying you guys have to be at the best of your game all season.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we told Master Sergeant Little that he needs to make me mad. If he makes me mad before a competition, then I'm going to want to prove him wrong and want to do better, and it just like hypes me up. And throughout the entire year, my team and I, we've had Daytona on our minds throughout the entire year so far, and it's still on our minds. Like, we, when we go to competitions, our mindset is to win. Like, we don't go there to participate, and Oreburg knows this just as well as I do. We want to beat the other teams. We want to make sure we leave with a trophy. We leave our mark. We are there to win.
How can we all come out and support you all?
Sometimes we don't go on to like 12 or 1. You can talk to somebody who's an ROTC or email Master Sergeant Little, and he can tell you the time that we'd go on, and then you can come out there and support us and see what we do.
And you can come to see our shows, which are more local. You could always just like ask how we, because encouragement, because like in ROTC color guard, we're seen as like we're overseen sometimes, and little encouragement words still go a long way for us.
Perfect. Some advice I can give you guys for looking out to joining the team is always be ready to be on your toes. Always want to perfect yourself. Not only that, because you're not going to start at something and do bad at it. You're always going to want the prestigious moment to want and grow. Be sure, guys, to come out and support them on the road to Daytona Sectionals. Their upcoming competitions are to take place Saturday, December 7th at Portage High School, February 22nd Sectionals at Purdue, leading up to the one and only April 30th through May 3rd at Daytona Nationals. Thank you all for coming out and enlightening us about color guard and drill.
Thank you.
And this wraps up another Warren World with your host, Alexis.
What's up, Warren's World? This is DJ Ray. I'm here with two of the speech members. And why don't you guys introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what everything you do at Warren Central.
So my name is Duyen Quang, and I'm a part of the discussion event of the speech team. And I'm a senior, but I just recently started speech this year.
Nice.
My name is Nyla Talese. I'm a senior. I have been doing speech for about 4 years. So I'm currently a captain, and I've been doing discussion as well for 4 years.
Fun. So why don't you guys tell me a little bit about the events you do in speech? Not just like your event, but like what the other events are, because I know there's a lot of events.
So I'm a part of discussion, which basically means that we are given 4 or 5 topics before the week of the competition and meet, before the week before the speech meet, and we are supposed to research these topics. And when we get to the speech meet, we have a discussion with 5 or 6 other people in the room, and we just talk and debate over the topic.
Sounds fun.
Yes, and that's discussion. The other events that we have, a part of limited prep as well, is we also have extemp, whether it be IX or USX, and it's usually you have 30 minutes to prepare, and then you give a 7-minute speech after that. We also have radio, which you do, Ray.
Yes, I do.
And with radio, I think it's... you have your editorials, you have your on the spot, and usually it's
newscast.
And the newscast. Yeah. And usually I think it's the only on the spot in which you do the moment of, and I think you have like 2 minutes to prepare for that.
They give you like a little picture. You can go into a room by yourself.
Fun. And then there's also impromptu, which is you have 2 minutes to prepare a speech with any question or any word. And then you give a 5-minute speech. From there, going on to other events in our interp and public address. Public address, it's either OO and info, in which you can either talk about what you're passionate about in OO or inform somebody with info. And then impromptu is kind of a mix of poetry, poi, prose, drama, humor, duo, and any of those things, in which, depending on the category that you're under, it's what your actual piece is about, whether it be humorous or dramatic. And then it's usually about 9 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
So for all of this, I know it takes some time to practice and all of that. What time do you usually wake up for speech meets?
I live a little bit far, so I wake up around 4 a.m. And I also sometimes morning shower, since I like to morning shower before and any day. So usually 4 a.m.
Oh, you're a morning shower person.
Unfortunately. Fortunately. And we usually get there at about 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., somewhere around that range. Yeah.
Deanne, what time do you wake up?
Well, I like to sleep early and wake up late so that I can get enough rest for my speech meet. So I sleep around 10 or 9:30. It varies on some days, but usually I wake up at like 4:50, and I have to be at school by 5:30 or 5:45. But yeah, like Nyla said, it usually ranges from 5 to 6.
So I know that I have a weird ritual that I do right before speech meet. Do you guys have anything that you like do to prepare yourself that maybe you don't tell anyone that you do?
Usually, well, thinking back to my freshman year, I was very wimpy and I was not that great, honestly. And so what I've been doing probably my junior and senior year that I've been seeing the most effective is I walk in and I just think to myself, I'm better than literally everyone in this room. And that's all I do.
I love it. What about you, Deanne?
Yeah, well, I have a lucky charm. It's either my hummingbird necklace or my Buddhist necklace that's made out of jade. And it usually makes me feel comfortable. And when I get into the room, as Nyla said, and she tells me to like make yourself feel like you're better than everybody else.
Because we are.
Yes. What's your guys's, like, what are you most excited about whenever you go into speech? Like, just whether it be practice or a competition?
I really like the family that we have in speech. And so I always feel very comfortable around the people who are part of the speech team. I've always said that my best friends are the people who are part of the speech team. So I'm always really happy to be competing under the name of Warren Central with our speech team, or even if it means practice. I know I'm going to have a really good time and I'm going to be very effective too in my practice.
Yeah, I feel the same way with everything Nyla said, but along with that, I feel as though I make a lot of friends outside of the Warren team at speech meets. For example, I met this girl at the recent speech meet we made, and we talked a lot about each other, and it was very fun. And it's not even about placing or earning a ribbon for me. It's just the improvement that I see myself grow throughout the season.
Yeah, that's always fun. So, like you said, it's like meeting new people. Tell me some stories about just like speech in general that are your favorite.
I'm trying to think back.
I can remember one.
Go ahead.
A recent Friday practice, we had a bunch of people who were not a part of our discussion team join in, and they had very interesting comments and claims to make, especially like with Noah Hall and Branson Dow, when he just started playing the song that we had as our artifact into Google Translate, and it was just hilarious seeing the accents. And this discussion team is just fun overall.
Yeah,
I definitely agree with that. And I think one of the most memorable moments from this year so far is probably our fall practices. They were very fun, honestly, and we got a lot done. I remember at the first one, we actually played Just Dance when we got bored, and Arvin didn't notice because we did it on the computer. We put it up to the big board, and it was really fun. And then he walked in, though, and he was very shocked. And then the second week, we actually got about 100, not McDonald's, it was Wendy's chicken nuggets with my discount. And we all got a lot of nuggets. We all got 10 pieces each, and it was pretty great.
So the speech team likes chicken nuggets.
Yes, we love food. We bring Cracker Barrel, yes, McAllister's, you name it. We're going to get it.
We're going to get it. So as Warren Central, we don't always have the most positive name for some other schools. Do you have any stories about maybe bad reputations we've gotten, or just like to clarify that we're not as bad as other schools think we are?
I can thinking back to 2013 and stuff like that, when my sister was actually part of the speech team. We used to have a very large speech team, so I'm thinking like the 50 and 100 range, and they mm-hmm. were all very good. And so back then, Warren Central used to be a really big name, and I honestly feel as though we still are, because even though we are a smaller team and we may not be as big as, say, Fishers, we still do have a lot of very strong competitors. And so we tend to also try not to say our names at speech meets. Obviously, we encourage you guys not to say the Warren Central
name.
You
heard that, people that say your names at speech, I mean, school name at speech meets? Don't do that.
Don't do that. And it's also a little bit more difficult, since we tend to be a lot more diverse compared to other speech teams. So thinking if we go up north, we're probably going to be one of the most diverse speech teams in the speech meet. So that's also a reason why we refrain from saying our name.
Yeah. Duyen?
I feel as though Nyla has a lot of different experiences than I do. Mm-hmm. Although Arvin did tell us not to say our school name. Well,
have you?
I have.
Oh. Arvin, if you're listening, Duyen has shamed us.
Actually,
shamed us all.
I had a very good experience from that, because a lot of people connected with past members of the Warren Central team. When I said I was a part of the Warren Central speech team, mm-hmm. this girl from Lawrence North, she said, "Oh, do you know this girl from cross country, because I ran with her? Or do you know Elena Allen or Nyla Talese?" And I'm just like, yes, I do. And it's just a very positive outcome from what I've experienced.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I can say, being in radio and broadcasting, there's been a couple times I've been like, oh, I'm not allowed to say my school name. And then like this girl from Roncalli was like, oh, I'm from Roncalli. And I was like, why would you tell me that? And then like Shelbyville, and then the guy that got first place, my first meet, he was from Cathedral, and he had a really great broadcasting voice. So the second meet, when I didn't see him there because I knew what team he was on, I was like, thank God.
I think it has a lot to do with, you don't want your judges to base you off of already a stereotype that they have on you. So like, they're never going to be, your judge will never be from Warren Central. And so if they don't know that you're from Warren Central, then they're not going to base you off of, oh, you're from the east side, or oh, you're from this really diverse speech team, or I don't like your specific coach. It's mostly going to be based off of your talent or what you bring to the table. So it's really, we want to keep our name undercover, because you want it to be based off of you, not off of your team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so very important.
So why do you think more people should join speech? Just like give me a pitch right now if I wasn't on the speech team.
I actually got a lot of people to join the speech team based off of a lot of the benefits that come with it. Obviously, it is a very beneficial experience, because you're going to become a better speaker if you join the speech team. I was not very literate my freshman year. I don't think I was very, I was a very shy person, and mm-hmm. I wasn't very outspoken, but thanks to speech, I feel as though I have a very strong voice now, and I'm prepared to really give any kind of presentation or have any kind of discussion. Not only that, but when you join the speech team, especially maybe your junior, sophomore, or freshman year, but also senior, it can benefit you in college, because a lot of colleges have speech and debate teams, such as BSU, Butler, I believe IU has one, and many others. So it's really beneficial, and they're always looking for more people to recruit for their speech team.
Yeah.
And it, not only that, but it looks amazing on a college application. I know mine was heavily influenced by speech, and when I filled out all of my applications, I always listed, I was a part of the speech team for 4 years. I am now currently a captain. I've been a 3-time state qualifier, as well as other awards that I've gotten. So it's really a great experience. And overall, you also build a really good family. I feel as though we're a very friendly group of people, and we get along very well, and we know how to handle situations. And I think there was a last point, but I can't remember it at this point. But I'll get back.
Yeah, along with that, I feel as though ever since I was like a freshman, I always wanted to join the speech team, but times has like passed by and I started getting busier and busier. But then the quote that said, It's Never Too Late to Start really resonated with me, and I decided to try out for the speech team. And along with that, I joined Extemporaneous for the beginning, and I honestly hated it. I didn't like the limited 30 minutes of prepping for it. And Nyla decided 2 minutes before a meet, 2 days before a meet, Deanne, you should join the discussion team. And I thought, why not? Worked I loved speaking and talking with other people, and now I'm doing something that I really enjoy.
I remembered my last point, too. Along with that, I really do feel as though people are going to grow a lot more as a person. But also, one thing that I feel as though we highlight at Warren Central is the point of athletics. And I am an athlete myself, and so I understand it in a way. But also, it's a lot more difficult with athletics because you got to really put yourself out there. You got to be the best in order to be recognized by colleges or things like that. And not only that, but with sports teams, it's like, they're graded or they're ranked off of a team in whole, whereas speech is really different in that area to where I would compare it to like wrestling or something like that, to where your team will be ranked off of individually. So like you could win a first place by yourself or a second place by yourself, but also our Warren Central speech team can also win as a whole, just like at Newcastle. Recently this weekend, we got second place as a whole, even if some people did end up getting a lower rank.
Okay, that's all the time we have today. Thank you guys so much for coming out, and thank you guys for listening. You heard it here. Join the speech team. It's a lot of fun. You are missing out a lot. So, see you guys next time.
This is 91.1 WEDM, and that was your Warren's World.